graciously hear the prayers of your people, that we who justly suffer the consequences of our sins may be mercifully delivered by your goodness to the glory of your name, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The readings of Holy Scripture for this, the sixth Sunday after the Epiphany, the Old Testament reading from the 17th chapter of the prophet Jeremiah. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He is like a shrub in the desert and shall not see any good come. He shall dwell in the parched places of the wilderness, in an uninhabited salt land. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green, and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Praise the Lord, all nations. Extol him, all peoples. For great is his steadfast love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts.
The epistle lesson from the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word that I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. And then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, and then to all of the apostles. And last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. Now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified about Christ that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Eternal life. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Gospel according to St. Luke, the 6th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus came down with them and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, who came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured, and all the crowd sought to touch him, for power came out from him and healed them all. And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you shall be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude and revile you and spurn your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day, leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven, for so their fathers did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you shall be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe to you when all people speak well of you, for so their fathers did to the false prophets." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you.
Together we confess our holy Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
grace and peace be yours from God, the Father, and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As we consider the gospel reading for the day, and those statements both of beatitude and woe, I want to begin with this thought, that the Christian life is destined for the crown, but presently lies very much under the cross. The Christian life is destined for the crown, but presently lies very much under the cross. Allow me to explain a bit. Christians, you and I have been brought from darkness to light. You know that our Lord God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, that Christ Jesus might bear in his body our sins in his own body on the tree. And so he did. All of the punishment due for our sins that we have committed, the big ones, the little ones, the ones you can't remember, the ones you can't forget, all of it, borne by Jesus Christ on the cross. And then, as we heard, reported to us again, this time from St. Paul, the 15th chapter, the great resurrection chapter of the Holy Scripture, Christ was raised from the dead. A signal to you and me that sin has been atoned for. Your sin has been atoned for. It doesn't matter who you are. Your sin has been atoned for by Jesus Christ. Now, Christians, you and I, you and the Holy Spirit has worked in our lives through the gospel, and so has brought us from darkness to light, from the domain of darkness, the scripture says, to the kingdom of God's beloved Son. As he worked faith in your heart and in my heart, mine when I was 5 days old through the waters of holy baptism, you in your heart, whenever you were baptized as a youngster, an infant, or perhaps as an adult, you came to faith. So the Holy Spirit worked in your heart and brought you from that darkness into light, into life in Jesus Christ, and made you an heir of all of the glories that God has in store for you. Even now in this life, eternal life belongs to us, but as Martin Luther said, we're still sort of in the entryway. Before we actually enter the grand room, in this life we're still in the entryway, and we have not yet realized with hands and eyes and all other senses, we haven't realized the life that's ours, but wait. It will be. Heirs of eternal life, it's what we are. All of this said, in this life right now, you know, Christians, that we are world-worn in this life. Life is difficult. And that's why I say the Christian life is destined for the crown, but presently it lies very much under the cross. And it does. And so in our lives we are given here and now to bear with struggles. It's an age-old contradistinction that's made, and you heard it. You heard it in our Old Testament reading for the day. And you can find it as you flip through the pages of Holy Scripture, especially in the Old Testament, but you find it in the New as well. You look in the prophets, you look in the Proverbs, you look in the Psalms, and you have presented to you on the one hand the way of life, on the other, the way of death. On the one hand, blessing. On the other hand, woe. You don't have to take bulletin in hand, but later on, take a look and see how clearly the Old Testament reading is laid out in that way. But you find something of the same in our Lord's words of the gospel reading for the day. On the one hand, words of beatitude, of blessing. On the other hand, words of woe. And so, with these words that he speaks, using this age-old distinction, the Lord Jesus, on the one hand, he comforts his beleaguered people. He encourages us, strengthens us. On the other hand, he issues words of very stern warning, which we should heed, which all should heed. Blessed are you. Now, those words are familiar because they are spoken also in what's called the Sermon on the Mount. This seems to be at a different time, in a different place, and this one is titled the Sermon on the Plain. But some of the same things are said. Blessed are you. Now, one category mistake, I believe, that is frequently made as one begins to or one looks to consider these words is this. As Jesus says, blessed are the poor for. Some will approach it thinking, well, if I only behave in this way, then I will be blessed. But I think it's a bit of a category mistake. Because I don't think fundamentally, finally, or primarily these are words of prescription. The Lord prescribing to us a manner of behavior. Firstly, and finally, I think these really are words not of prescription, but of description. Describing us. A pronouncement of blessing on those who are his people. Again, people beleaguered in a world in which they feel world-worn. So that, as one has put it, Arthur Just is the one who put it this way, these particular beatitudes that we're considering today are intended to comfort afflicted believers with the assurance that God knows their plight. And God looks upon them with favor, and he will deliver them, filling their need with blessings to the point of overflowing. That, I think, is how we ought to approach these. They are words that embrace, and they're words that encourage, and here's what they say. Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Poor. Does it mean blessed are those who have little money, or blessed are those who are poor in spirit, as we find in the other version of these Beatitudes? Likely poor in spirit, though I don't dismiss the fact, we shouldn't dismiss the fact that, and it's true, that among many Christians, Christians are not the ones who necessarily have the fullest pockets in this world. In fact, you'll find, not necessarily in our locale, Cupertino some years ago was numbered as the 11th richest city in the country. But you'll find in many places throughout the world Christians who are dirt poor. And yet to them belong, as to us, it belongs the kingdom. So I think poor in this way, as one Adam Falling has written, he says, it's true, most of them, most Christians here to whom he speaks, most of them have not much of this world's goods, nor do they set their affections on them. In addition, they don't boast of good works and saintly virtues, but rather deplore their spiritual poverty in the sight of God. However, seeking and through faith in Christ, being partakers of the imperishable riches of the kingdom of God, they are truly to be accounted happy or blessed. And that's us. Is it not, Christians? That is us. We do deplore our own spiritual poverty. We are poor, and we confess to be poor, miserable sinners who deserve from God no good thing, but to whom by grace have been given the very kingdom of God. To us who deserve from God only wrath and displeasure, He has, for the sake of Jesus Christ, who atoned for you and for me, who purchased and won us from all sin and death and the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with His holy precious blood and His innocent suffering death, He has won us so that we may live under Him in His kingdom, so that He may give to us throughout eternity the riches that He has laid up for us, for you and for me. So in the face of our poverty, our confession that we are but poor, miserable sinners, remember this, Christians. Yours is the kingdom. Note also the verb tense. He doesn't say it one day will be. It is right now, though in this world, yet still we live life under the cross. But yours is the kingdom. Forget not Him who was made poor for your sake, so that by His poverty you have become rich with the things of the kingdom. So don't lose heart. Again, be encouraged by this. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you shall be satisfied. Hungry what? For righteousness, as it says again in the other listings of the Beatitudes. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, well, you do. But there is, especially in the Gospel according to St. Luke, there seems to be quite the word for the poor. In fact, the godly poor know that you're well taken care of. Yes, you strive on now. You hunger and you thirst, yes, for righteousness. It well might be that even by God's own measure of giving, the daily bread seems to be leaner than you'd like it to be. But don't forget. Don't forget that those who are His own, He takes care of them. Consider the birds of the air. Consider them as Jesus bids us to consider them. They don't sow seed. They don't reap. They don't take what they have reaped and store it away into a barn somewhere. You see them out there, wake up early enough in the morning, and you see them out there pecking away on the front lawn looking for their food, and your Heavenly Father feeds them. Of how much more value are you than these people of God? Remember the promise. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you shall be satisfied. So wait for it. It's a common phrase today, isn't it? When people post little videos or such things online, wait for it. Wait for it. Don't give up on whatever you're watching too soon. You have to wait for it. So wait for it, because God is true to His word. And remember Him who strove to fulfill all righteousness for you. Remember Him who suffered the pains of hunger as He was tempted in the wilderness for you, who suffered the pains of thirst, dying on the cross for you. Remember Him who suffered the indignity of unrighteousness for you. So in the face of whatever challenges come this way, as you hunger and thirst for righteousness, or you just plain hunger and thirst for the daily bread, remember the promise that God has given to you. He will provide for you in this life, but He has laid up for you more than you can know. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. And we do weep now, don't we, For all various reasons we weep now, because we're Christians in a fallen world. Because of emotional strife, we weep now. Physical pain, we weep now. Spiritual angst, we weep now. We're Christians who bear the scars of life's trials and travails, life's toils and temptations. Yeah, we weep now. You know we weep now. You've shed that tear. We're Christians who weep now the tears of repentance. Sorry for our sins, yet trusting in the all-sufficient work of Jesus Christ. We are Christians who weep now the tears of grief and of loss, who weep now the tears of regret. But wait for it, because Jesus says, you shall laugh. If a smile has been hard to come by lately because of life circumstances, then take heart in an assurance on this word of your Lord Jesus and bank on it. He's risen from the dead, as you heard in the second reading. Risen from the dead. His promises are as alive as he is alive. Count on them. And count on them true for you. If a smile has been hard to come by lately, wait for it, because you shall laugh. And I don't mean one of those little chuckles that's mixed in with all the hurt and the pain of this world. I mean hearty laugh, a full laugh, a long laugh, a free laugh, a laugh unalloyed with all of the things of this life, the bitter vinegar of this life that would mix in. Remember him who shared our tears and grief, that you, with him, can laugh and will laugh. Remember him who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame for you. So let us even now be glad. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you and revile you and spurn your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy. For behold, your reward is great in heaven. For so their fathers did to the prophets. It happens sometimes, doesn't it? Persecution happens to Christians in this world. Where it does, when it does, certainly with brothers and sisters in other parts of the world, where it does and when it does, Christians are clearly then distinguished from the unbelieving world as they're persecuted and excluded and reviled and spurned. They are distinguished from the unbelieving world. Among us, it doesn't happen so much among us, at least not to the degree that it does in other places. Now, on the one hand, we count that a blessing, but I want to read to you a few words that were written in 1921 and see if they don't still apply in 2025. So thoroughly has the amalgamation of the world with the church been done, so far has it progressed that such isolation that we've talked about here in this phrase is rare in our days. More is the shame. People that call themselves Christians will rather confine their Christianity in its profession and practice to a few hours on Sunday than to bear the reproach or the cross of the Lord, for the sake of the Savior. The spirit of martyrdom seems to be all but gone in the church today. Denials of Christ are practiced daily. Confessions for the sake of Christian principle are rare. 1921. Is it not the case, and even perhaps more the case, in 2025? Where we suffer, as we suffer for the confession of the name of Jesus Christ, remember the faithful confessor Jesus. Remember, rather, that the faithful confessor by grace, remember that your reward, as Jesus said, is great in heaven. Draw strength from him who, in his testimony before Pontius Pilate, made the good confession. And so let us, though there be tribulation in the world, be of good cheer, because our Lord Jesus has overcome the world. Christian, don't lose sight of this. The Christian life is destined for the crown, but presently lies very much under the cross. Therefore, take heed. Because Jesus says, "Woe to you who are rich." Oh, not necessarily with money, but rich, as it were, in your evaluation of yourself. Pride of yourself. No need for a Savior. I think that's here what it means, for you have received your consolation. That's as good as it's going to get for you. Woe to you who are full now, who have all the things of this life, even at the sake, who are rich in things and poor in soul, for you shall be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, because you don't suffer under the cross. For you shall mourn and weep. You don't suffer the things Christians suffer. You laugh in this world, in this life, because you have no cares that are the cares of the Christian. Woe to those who laugh now, for you shall weep and mourn. Woe to you when all people speak well of you, when you haven't offended anybody by your confession. For so their fathers did speak well of the false prophets. To have the worldly now is really to be betrayed later. I close with this. There's a story that's told. I came across it recently. Several hundred years ago, the Arctic winter was setting in on Hudson Bay, what's now called Hudson Bay. And there were murderous traders that compelled their captain, Henry Hudson, overboard into a rowboat. When they were preparing to set sail then and leaving their captain to what would be, I think, certain death, the ship's carpenter reportedly demanded to be put into the rowboat too, and they said, "No, you can stay. You can stay with us." The mutinous crew replied to him, but he answered, "I'd rather trust myself to the mercy of God and stay with my master than be safe and warm with companions like you." To have the worldly now, to have the worldly now is to be betrayed later. The Christian life is destined for the crown, but presently lies very much under the cross. But Christian, remember, blessed are you. In Jesus' name, amen. We rise.
Stein as he progresses.
Heavenly Father, your kingdom has been manifested in the preaching miracles of Jesus Christ, your Son. Gather together a great multitude from every nation and from Judea's remnant, that many may know wisdom come in our flesh. In your mercy, Lord, hear our prayer. Grant, O Lord, that your people may always hold fast to the word that has been preached to them and not believe it in vain. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord God, you bestow favor and honor and withhold nothing from those who walk uprightly in the faith that you have created, that generations to come would love your promises, walk in your truth, and dwell in your house. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Lord, preserve us from the wayward and prosper us in your paths. We commend to you all who bear office in our land and ask that you would make them a blessing to those they serve. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Grant to us every joy in the calling or vocation you have given us, that we would render service to you in our works of love toward our neighbor. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Remember those in need of honest labor and daily bread, and give them gainful employment according to your good and gracious will. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Merciful God, hear our prayer for those who are troubled by memory or thought and illness or of mind or body, especially Henry and Robert, Aubrey, Mai, Josie, Barbara, Will, Jack, and all who care for them. Send forth your power in the name of your Son, that they would hear your word and find confidence in knowing that you hear them and will sustain them unto the hour of healing. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bless now, O Lord, all who by the work of your Spirit trust in you and come to receive and eat the holy body and the precious blood of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of their sins and for the sustaining of their faith. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Your Son, O Father, is risen from the dead and has promised that he is the firstfruits from among those who sleep. Preserve us in him with a certain hope of eternal life, and to comfort those who mourn. Comfort them with the certainty of Christ's resurrection, and grant us to live in confident expectation of our blessed reunion with those who have died in the faith before us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Lord God, Heavenly Father, plant us as trees by the stream of Christ our Savior. Root us securely in his word and wisdom. Let us not turn from you, nor put our trust in man and in the flesh which fail us. Preserve us from all anxiety when affliction and persecution come, and enable us to stand firm and to rejoice at the great reward that is laid up for us in heaven through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and who reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you.
salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For what had been hidden from before the foundation of the world, you have made known to the nations in your Son. In him being found in the substance of our mortal nature, you have manifested the fullness of your glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, 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 holy Lord, God of our and mine, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the
Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and to be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in the sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.